And good afternoon. It's 10 after 12. We head down the hall to the WRTI Performance Studio and Kevin Gordon and his special guest for this Monday. Kevin?
And welcome to the concluding performance of our celebration of the 165th anniversary of Steinway Pianos. And thanks to Jacobs Music for making it possible with our beautiful Steinway Spirio piano. And we have a special guest in our concluding broadcast, Igor Reznyansky. And he has won prizes for his playing in the New Orleans International Piano Competition, the International World Piano Competition in Cincinnati, the first China International Piano Competition in Beijing, and the All-Russian Piano Competition. And I could go on all day, but the last one I'll say is the 2016-2017 Steinway Top Teacher of the Year, nominated by Jacobs Music. Igor, dobro pozhalovat.
Oh, you actually surprised me. Dobro pozhalovat. Very little accent, actually. Very good.
I have a little accent, yeah.
But very little.
Thank you. We were speaking before the interview about the Russian school of piano playing and whether or not it actually exists anymore. Yeah. And you had some very interesting observations about that.
Yeah, I don't think I will be very helpful, but this is the question I've been asked many times. And what is the Russian school of music? What is it? Because there is something special came out of pre-1917 Russia, before the revolution, and during the Soviet time, which was very strong on education. And as we talked about, I believe that it is a combination of dedicated teachers, musicians that brought all the influences from from Europe, and somehow domesticated them in Russia, and then in specific teaching in terms of piano school, I had wonderful teachers, and from what I remember, it's a lot of attention to details. And a lot of saying what you have to do. They gave you freedom, or they gave me freedom at certain point, but they wanted to make sure that you understand the music at its, or the music language at its deepest, what they would imagine, level, and then let you fly on your own. Also, I believe there is a strong influence of lyricism in any Slavic music, and so Russian music would be the same. So it would be a little bit of cliche to say Russian folk music has a combination of happiness and sadness back to back, but it's true. I think when we read the music score, we gravitate toward lyricism often, and at the same time, the magnitude. So I don't know if that would describe Russian school. I think it describes every school of music. And but there is something about attention to details and not compromising. And that's what I would associate with. And then dedication. A lot of teachers that were dedicated. And as of today, there are a lot of musicians that work in Russia and just really put themselves to bring up the next generation of the students. And I think that in combination creates so-called musicians that come in from that region, and everyone identifies them as Russian School of Music. That probably would be the best vague answer I can give.
That's the most specific vague answer I've ever heard. It's funny that there are no Russian pieces on the program today.
Yes.
We begin with two Scarlatti sonatas, the sonata in E-flat major and in B minor, and you'll play them together without break.
Yeah, back to back, yes.
Thank you. Igor Reznyansky playing two Scarlatti sonatas live in our performance studio here at WRTI, the first in E-flat major, the second in B minor. We joked a moment ago about no Russian music on the program, but you have students from all over, all cultures, and you mentioned at one point that you saw a rise in the level of amateur musicians, almost likening back to the 1800s when everyone played the piano.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. I do teach pre-college and college, and for a long time, in the past especially, I had private students that were adults. And then I do go to many festivals where the program combines professional young artists and then amateur musicians and teachers as well. And in the past about 20 years, I noticed living in the United States that the level of amateur musicians is rising rather dramatically. And it's due to young musicians who taking lessons, taking them seriously, learning very complex repertoire, and then going to the universities, colleges, to major in something different than music, but keep the music throughout the college and then come back to it at rather full force as non-professional musicians. And and nowadays, for pianists especially, there is so much created in the United States. I know abroad as well, but I know what's happening in the U.S., so I'm more familiar with this country. A lot of young musicians, a lot of amateur musicians, and actually many of them are young, I would say 28, 27, 29 years old, attending festivals, attending competitions, and Van Cliburn competition for outstanding amateurs is one of them. There are other competitions that are around the country, and then in Europe and Russia start to embrace amateur musicians more than I think it used to be, or there are literally just more non-professional musicians decide to do something about music versus, you know, you either professional or don't bother. And the level is getting pretty high. So it's a wonderful time for music, for classical music. Everyone says it's declining. I believe it's the exact opposite. The number of students that taking lessons, the number of young kids that taking lessons, it's not extremely large, but it's large enough. And then how many of them are actually staying with music is encouraging. And so that means we will have music lovers, we will have somebody who will go to the concerts, hopefully ask and bring their kids to music lessons, including the piano, and that will, it's good for the culture, it's good for the health of the nation, so.
Well, let's inspire them a little more with a piece by Beethoven. The first movement of the Sonata number 30, the Opus 109, performed by Igor Reznyansky.
Thank you.
The first movement of the Opus 109 of Beethoven, performed by Igor Reznyansky. We wanted to ask you about being a Steinway artist. How did you become one, and what is it?
Steinway artist is it's a choice, and you're honored to be offered to be on the roster of Steinway artist. You do have to have a Steinway as your one of the instruments that you owe. And I have a beautiful Steinway B at home, and then you're recommended, and then Steinway looks at your credentials and then invites you to be on the roster of Steinway artists. So, and it's a big list of a lot of famous names, and big honor.
We have one more piece, the Chopin Mazurka, and we'll talk a little more after that, but it's the Chopin Mazurka Opus 24, number 1 and 2.
Yes. Thank you.
The Chopin Opus 24, numbers 1 and 2, the Mazurkas, performed live in our studio by Igor Resnyansky. So what's up for you next, Igor?
I'm actually going to be flying this coming Saturday to Atlanta. And I believe it's near Atlanta. I have a master classes to give to amateur group. There is a strong amateur musician group, and then professional, or I would call it pre-college kids. There is a teacher association there, and I will be giving master class for them as well. A couple of presentations, and then there is a performance, which is I will be in the second half. I will be playing some of what you heard today, and then some other different pieces. First half will be played by a group of amateur musicians, and then there is a little intermission, and then I was a guest artist playing a second half of that concert. So that's my next project.
I just wanted to ask you one more question, mm-hmm. because we had brought this up earlier about the... in the old days, some people said, oh, only Russians can play Russian music, only French can play French music. But that's not the case anymore. And you have your students come from a variety of backgrounds.
Yes. I don't think that's the case anymore. It's the cultures were assimilated. And I think everyone is now fully aware of stylistic differences, domestic differences, and what each composer era really represents. And I think we are evolved into the rather cosmopolitan, as we all should, era where musicians from different places and different countries embracing classical music. And really, I cannot say that only Russians can get to the depth of Russian music. Maybe still, you know, we maybe feel internally when we play, there's maybe certain deeper connection because we grow up with certain music that we hear. I think we're all now in the same melting pot of influences, and so I would not personally distinguish Russians play best Russian, French best French. But if somebody does, you know, it's their opinion.
Well, thank you. And your students are very lucky. We were joking around a lot before, but this is a very serious conversation. So thank you very much, Igor, for being our guest today. Igor Resnyansky, Steinway artist, and the concluding performance on our series here at WRTI 90.1 in the celebration of the 165th anniversary of Steinway Pianos. Back to you, Jack.
Kevin, thanks.
I got a few bloops.
What did Beethoven say?
That's right, he did.
Right. To play without passion is the...
Yeah, but that was them.
That was them. But you're doing this from memory. It's amazing.
Wait, wait, wait.